This is the podcast for Woodland Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We are maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. We hope you enjoy the message. And if you'd like to learn more about our church, look us up at woodlandpres.org. Thanks so much. May the Lord bless you.
Our text today, this text from 1 Corinthians 13, it has been said at innumerable weddings. If one did not know their Bible, you would think that 1 Corinthians 12, the chapter before, was about what Paul thought about husbands and wives and how they should treat each other. 1 Corinthians 12 is not about husbands and wives. It's not that this text doesn't have something to say to marriages, but to narrow it, to narrow the text we just heard to only marriage, is like saying the only thing that water can do, it's good for sailboats. That's a really narrow part of what this passage is about. This passage is super challenging, especially when you consider what Paul will say a few chapters later in 16, when he says, "Let everything you do be done in love." Everything? Can't we like pick some things? This sounds hard. This text is primarily about church relationships, using spiritual gifts in the church, how church people treat each other. Please, please, please do not read those words on the screen and think if I try hard enough, I can do that. These verses are about Christian love, love that is done by the power of the Holy Spirit through those that are in Jesus Christ. You try to do this list every day in your power, you will understand failure at a level you have never understood. This text is about Christian love, about love that is found in Christ. Yes, this text does reflect God's love for us. That is without a doubt. But the primary focus of this text is about how believers should treat each other. I remember when I was in college, a buddy of mine who I was rooming with said these words to me. He said, "I've been reading this passage, and I think this is about how I feel towards my girlfriend. That must mean that I really love her and I'm really ready to be married to her." Understand that this passage is supposed to be in Christ, even for those people who you don't even like. It's supposed to be a passage for people who don't even like you. I know you would find that shocking that there would be people on this earth that wouldn't like you, but they're around. They may not tell you to your face, but they exist. This passage is by the power and the love of Jesus Christ. It should define what happens in a local church. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. If you're keeping score, that's 15 characteristics of love, either what it does or what it doesn't do. Love is patient. The word here for patient is always used about patience with people, not with circumstances. And this is the moment where I lost you. Because you're like, circumstances, patience, I can do that. But the person at work, oh my gosh, how do I do that, right? Because everybody's got that person at work, right? If they're here, please don't point to them. It would be so awkward. Love is patient and kind. We struggle to do life in a world. We need to see more Christians being kind, being truthful, but being kind. What would it be like if Christians were known for their kindness and their truth? Oh, that'd be different, right? Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It's not always consumed about what they're not getting. Oh, that happened to my neighbor. My neighbor got a new vehicle. Lord God, I thought you loved me. How could you give? Do you know what they do on the weekends? Do you know what heathens they are? And you want to say you've never had those thoughts. And we all know differently. Amen? Yeah, somebody else did. I didn't have those thoughts, but somebody else did. Love does not boast. It's not all about me. It's not about promoting self. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. I remember going to a high school cafeteria many, many years ago to have lunch with some high schoolers when I was a youth pastor. And when the lunch bell rang, I saw students move with incredible speed. They weren't allowed to run, but they walked faster than gold medal Olympians in the walk, right? And they walked to get to the head of the lunch line, right? Because you have to get to the front. You don't dare get in the back, right? And that is what it looks like when love demands its own way. It says, I have to be first. I have to be served. This is about me. That's not what Christian love looks like. It's not resentful. It forgives. Oh, we could spend a minute here. Are there churches that have people in them that aren't forgiving? There might be one or two of those churches, right? I dare say that most churches, the main thing they struggle with is practicing daily forgiveness amongst those in the building. Christian love forgives. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Well, what does that mean? Well, the idea here isn't so much that it doesn't rejoice in sin. It's about when your enemy does something wrong and you're happy about it. You know what that's like? When you've got somebody that you really don't like and you hear that they did something really, really dumb and it makes you happy? Love doesn't do that. Love doesn't rejoice when someone falls. Rejoices with the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Now, I've spent a few minutes with this text. I've looked at it. I've turned it around. I've thought about it. And I would like to propose that we think about this text through a series of a few questions. If you find yourself thinking the questions that I'm about to throw out here, just know, most likely you are on a path that's not the one of Christian love. Are you ready? There's two of you that are ready. Okay. Guys, it is Sunday at 4:42. I gotta think more of y'all are ready for this. Are you ready? Okay, there we go. Here's our first question. It is incredibly intellectual. It is super, super smart sounding. It is three words. What about me? Because that little question is totally against this passage. And yet, if you're like me, you find yourself thinking about those three words way more than you would ever want to admit in a court of law. Amen? But this passage isn't about that. Our second question, our second statement, if you will, three more words. I deserve better. I don't deserve this. Thinking about me. Thinking about what I deserve. What about this one? When you hear about something really great that happened for somebody, your first thought isn't, I'm happy for them. Your first thought is, why didn't something great happen for me? Now, I'm adding the toddler tone, okay, just to make it a little easier for you. But some of you know what these sentences sound like in your head. Is that fair? If you find that you're sitting next to someone that has said any of these things recently, this is not the time to nudge them, okay? Just so we really want you to think about you, okay? Here's our other one. Why aren't more people paying attention to me? Do you notice a theme? All of these are about me. They're about, and yet this passage, Christian love, is focused on how do I do what's best for you? How do I serve you? How do I love you? It's not focused on me. It's very much in line of what Jesus said. He did not come to be served, but to serve. And yet, in the church, oftentimes, Christians struggle with this. We say we want to serve, but in our heart of hearts, we really want to be served a lot. Here's another one. I would like to speak with you about the 34 things you've done wrong in the last 2 hours. Because oftentimes people do things that annoy us, and we feel it is our right to correct them about everything they do that we don't like. And yet in Christian love, we're supposed to bear with each other. We're supposed to forgive each other. It's not about what me and I want all the time. I'm supposed to bear with others. How about this one? I will always assume the worst about you. Right? Especially about people we don't like, right? We assume the worst. That's not what this stuff is about. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Christian love gives the benefit of the doubt, even to people that really can't stand us at all. It doesn't mean that Christian love is naive. It doesn't mean that Christian love sticks its head in the sand. Christian love at times will have hard conversations. Christian love at times absolutely will say, something's wrong here. We need to talk. Christian love will absolutely do that because sometimes we're in relationships with narcissists and we need to have real conversations. But the reality is that most of the time in our Christian church culture, we are consumed with what we're getting out of it. We're consumed about us. And Christian love, the love that's patient and kind and isn't envy or boastful, it's not arrogant or rude, that Christian love is focused on the other person. How can I help you? What can I do for you? I realize that I may not be getting my way here, but I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on what I can do for you because that's my drive. Because in Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I am able to do that kind of love. That's not normal. That's not natural. That's not human. That is supernatural by the power of Jesus Christ. And that, brothers and sisters, is what our world desperately needs more of. Real Christian love amongst each other and even towards those at work and in our neighborhoods and even in our families when things are super duper hard. The last one, you are not worth it. This passage is centered around loving others that the other folks in the world may not consider to be worthy. Jesus said something really, really crazy. I mean, he said a few things really crazy, if we're honest, right? But in the Sermon on the Mount, he says this really crazy thing at the end of chapter 5. He says, love, the love that I want you to have, I want it to be love for people that don't love you. I want you to love people who don't even like you. He said, it's really easy to love people that love you. It's easy to love people that like you. That's what everybody else does in the world. He says, but if you're going to do this my way, I want you to love people who don't love you. What? I don't want to love those people. I don't consider them worthy. That's not what Christian love does. Christian love loves. Even the folks the rest of the world says is not worth it, Christian love says, I'm going to love you because Jesus Christ died on the cross. And Lord God Almighty loves you, and I'm going to love you with his love because he's loved me. This passage is impossible apart from the gospel. This passage is impossible to do apart from the power that is found in Christ. And I want to say this. This last little part here, how love endures all things. You know, I could say a lot of things about Hannah, my wife, and how she has demonstrated this towards me and towards our kiddos, how many times she's given up what she wants to do and what she does. There's a lot of moms that could have those stories. But let me tell you this. When I look at this last part, how love endures all things, I think about the love that my wife has for the local church, for the bride of Jesus Christ. We've been doing this church thing for, 22 years, serving in churches that quite honestly have oftentimes slighted her and disrespected her, misunderstood her, and to be very transparent with you, some churches that even before we ever got to Memphis just didn't love her well. I mean, you don't know the prayers and the tears that this lady has said in her pillow, how she has longed to serve the local church and use her gifts for the glory of God. You don't know what she has endured to get to this day and these kinds of moments. And I'm so grateful that the Lord is exceedingly kind and has provided this incredible opportunity for her. But make no mistake, her love for the bride of Christ, it has endured so many things. I'm so proud of her. I don't want you to misunderstand me. My wife is not perfect, but my wife loves the local church. Her parents instilled that deep love in her to love the church, and she loves the local church, and she longs for the church to be what it's supposed to be. She has endured, and her love for the church has endured. And it has done so not because she had it within her, but because of the power of Jesus Christ and how she has constantly strived to yield to the Lord Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to work through her. So these questions, these statements, I don't want to just leave you with a negative. I want to do a positive. What does it sound like when we're on the path of love? We say things like this. What about you? Try it. Look at somebody next to you and say those three words. Good. Let's try another one. You're going to say it exactly like I say it, okay? I'm so glad that great thing happened for you. Try it. There's some of y'all, I'm not sure y'all meant that, all right? So I'm just going to say that out loud, all right? I can't see your hearts, all right? I will always assume the best about you. Last one. This one's really important. You are worth loving. May we get really, really good at showing that kind of love in church, outside of church, and whoever the Lord puts in our path. Amen?
Thank you for listening to this message from Woodland Presbyterian Church, maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. If you would like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at woodlandpres.org. God bless you today.